Hi, everybody. You're about to listen to episode 55.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you've got a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, and sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the September 30th episode number 55 of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. I am Mike Wendland, and we are delighted to have you with us. We've got a lot to talk about today. Where to go, what to do, and how to enjoy your RV is the overall theme of this episode. We've got some really interesting questions this week that came in from the audience and readers of our blog, like how to select the right size inverter for your RV. We're going to talk about winter RVing and what you need to know about driving in snow and what's the best way to park your RV in your driveway, what surface it should be on, RVing on a storage on a cement pad or asphalt. And we got RV tips, off the beaten path travel suggestions, and a very fun interview with an RVer we met from the UK who loves the American RV lifestyle so much that he spends 4 months of the year here. Every time he and his family can sneak off, they even bought an RV that they keep in the States. This UK guy is living the American dream, he says, and he shares some of the joys and how it has brought his family closer together. But first, my wife and my lifelong traveling companion, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, you've certainly been busy in the last week. I see you've been on Facebook, on our Facebook group, collecting postcards for our grandson.
Yeah, and I'm really into it. I'm one of those that likes a list and I like to put checks through things. And I'm thinking that our little grandson, Jacob, must be the same. He's quite competitive and at school, I think they've got three different classrooms all competing to see who can get all 50 states first.
They need to get postcards postmarked from the 50 states. So, it all started. I put something up on the Facebook group last week because, we're always on the road. So as we're traveling, you have me looking for postcards. And I wrote how hard it is to find postcards. I mean, we stopped. You know, people don't sell them because there's no profit margin in them, so it's very hard to find postcards.
I was thinking the Cracker Barrel would have them, and they don't have them. And then I thought about it. It takes up a lot of space, and there's not a lot of profit to be made, and buying in bulk.
So she's got me stopping everywhere on the route trying to find them a postcard, and we've been doing it. So we put that on the blog, and then some of the readers said, well, we can send postcards, and there you took off.
Oh, yeah, this is great fun. My daughter-in-law emailed me and said that he came home and squealed with joy because he had a couple of states that he needed.
Yep. So so you've been running this checklist of postcards for our grandson.
It is
Jacob.
My nature to have checklists.
Yes,
I love checklists.
It is.
Plus, I love the country. I think it's a great way to have kids learn the states.
Yep. So that's been fun, and we've been traveling. We're in our home office studio for this week, and we hit the road again tomorrow. I think it's every week. We've been gone most of the week somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's been. This is my favorite time to travel.
Oh, I love the fall.
Yep, it is the heat of summer is gone. You don't have to run the air condition at night. You'd open the windows and, oh my gosh, it's just great. And we've been having a lot of fun taking photographs.
The more photographs, the better. Yeah. It's a beautiful world out there.
We did the Blood Moon, the big super moon. We shot that and put that up. I think we shared that on Facebook. We didn't put that in the blog. But by the way, people keep asking, well, we're talking about Facebook. If you're not a part of our Facebook group, we invite you. It's facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And we'll be glad to have you be a part of that.
Only if they're happy campers.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. We don't want any whiners or anybody. Some people, you know, it's a large group of 6,000. And so you get all these whiners in there every now and then that want to complain. And oh my gosh.
Life isn't perfect. And the purpose of the site is to talk about positive experiences and places where people should go. They're going to have fun going there. Everybody's got complaints, but take those to your dealer or take them someplace where you can get help.
People will answer questions and stuff, but then these people want to whine. Go away.
Enough.
All right.
No whining.
Yeah, no whining. This is a no whining zone. This is also time for your tip. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Mike has written a lot about on the Road Trekking blog about our favorite style of RV traveling. He calls it serendipity traveling. Meaning we stop and explore whenever we find something that interests us or that sounds fun. And one of our favorite things to do is visit small towns and to attend their various festivals and events. The first time we did this was a few years ago when traveling through Nebraska on the interstate. Somewhere at a gas station or a restaurant, we saw a sign advertising the Popcorn Festival in North Loop, Nebraska. Popcorn Festival, since Mike's favorite food is popcorn, it was a natural for him, and it was just so charming. I like the state of Nebraska. And so, what fun. So, we went out on the North Loop. We found North Loop, located way off the interstate in the heart of the Nebraska Hill Country. Beautiful country. Peaceful. Recommend it. We didn't know it, but it's the popcorn capital of the U.S., We visited, we spent the night there boondocking in a city park for free, had a lot of popcorn, and learned some fascinating things about Mike's favorite food. We'll put a link to the story in the show notes for this episode. So, fun story, that's like one of my fondest memories was doing that trip. Well, since then, we found all sorts of festivals around the country. We've been to the Lilac Festival, a Lamb and Wool Festival, and a fine music festival in Montana. Last week, we went to Plains, Georgia, and attended the Peanut Festival. We learned a lot about peanuts, and unfortunately, they had a bag, and they gave us a whole bunch of candy.
Why do you say unfortunately? That was really great. Peanut-based candy.
I mean, it was like Halloween. We have this.
All these adults are all lined up getting their free peanuts and candy.
Not only did they give us a grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then a plain, the old mushy white bread peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which was my favorite, the mushy white bread. Do you like the grilled? I like the plain old mushy white bread.
Well, the grilled was back to my given youth. By the peanut queen was the one who was handing that out. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so now I got to figure out what to do with all this candy other than us eat it, and I'm too stingy or too tight, frugal, to just toss it. So maybe I got to figure out what to do with that candy.
However,
other than us eat it.
I do notice you've hidden the bag. I was up looking for it a little while ago, and you've hidden it someplace.
I can't believe you haven't found it. You have radar for things that you shouldn't have. These foods I would not allow in our house.
All right. Well, anyway, okay, they gave them away at the Peanut Festival. It was pretty cool.
We got a bag full of candy. And I didn't know this before, but peanuts, that's the official crop of Georgia, not peaches. I always thought it was the Georgia peach. But it's peanuts, that's their crop. And as a bonus, we saw Plain Georgia's favorite son, former President Jimmy Carter, who has lived there all his life and still living there.
What a nice man he is.
Very kind man.
I don't know how you feel about his politics, but he is, by all accounts, truly a humanitarian. And he was out there at 91. He just came down with cancer. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of chemo treatment. But there he was, out on Main Street saying hi to everybody, presenting awards to the little kids for artwork and the runners of a fun run. But what a nice, nice man he is.
And then I had the dumb question, where's Secret Service? And Mike said, Jen, open your eyes.
Yeah, no. They're there.
They were there so obviously. And they obviously wouldn't be wearing any type of uniform, but they were very obvious once I opened my eyes. And before politics, he was a peanut farmer, so that was kind of a fun thing to learn about him. And we'll put a link to that story on the show notes for this episode as well. So here's where my tip comes in, how to find such fun things. We have several resources. We'll put them in the show notes. Online, the Music Festival Junkies website lists all the music festivals around the country, so that link will be up there. Or just do a search on the area you are visiting, looking for events or festivals in whatever town you're near. And if you would like something in hand, we learned about a great book from Jack O'Brien, who we met with his wife a couple of weeks ago at the Hershey, Pennsylvania, at the RV show. Jack told us about a book he and his wife use called Amazing Festivals. It lists hundreds of hometown festivals across North America. We just ordered a copy for our RV. It only costs $7 on Amazon, so there you go. How to find fun and interesting things wherever you are, and maybe we'll see you out there at the next festival.
That's right, and we may get to one yet this weekend if we're lucky.
We're thinking we might.
We'll tell you about that if we do. That's pretty cool. So all of the stuff that Jennifer just shared, the links to those are on our show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/55.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hello, my name is Liz Walker, and I have a question about inverters. I'm wondering what size I need. We have a 28-foot travel trailer, and I would just like to power the microwave and the TV, and so I just want to... what is the best one to buy? I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I want to get what we need. So we do have a 300 watt power inverter, and we just needed to know if we needed one that would be like 1,000 watts. So like I said, we'd like to power the TV and the microwave and maybe the coffee pot. So please let me know. Thank you.
Well, that's a much more involved question than you might think, Liz, because those things...
Yeah, it's amazing how much power a coffee pot takes.
That's right.
And a microwave, woo!
Woo, it does. Well, let me first say that on the show notes page, I will put a link to a really great resource I found at doityourselfrv.com on how to choose the best inverter for you. But... for those of you who aren't sure what Liz is talking about, an inverter is a device that converts the battery power, and that battery power works on 12 volts DC for direct current. So it converts battery power into the kind of power that works with our electronic devices. That is AC, or alternating power, and that's 110 volts. So a converter is this device that goes through there. Now, inverters are available in just about any size, but unless you have a huge battery bank, anything over about 3,000 watts is going to use probably too much battery power to be practical. So you have to decide what size you need. And the way you do that is you check the wattage requirements of what you want to have powered. And then you get an inverter that's maybe just a little bit bigger than that. So first thing I guess one says, forget about running the air conditioner off an inverter. Unless you have a lot of batteries, and I mean a lot of batteries, but almost everything else is reasonable. Every RV inverter will have what is called a continuous rating, and then they'll have a peak rating. And mostly you want to look at the continuous rating, but a couple of things like microwaves and other devices probably require a higher peak rating. And you need to know the power that the device you use, and you need to know it, how much it consumes in watts, and then the current that it takes in amps. See, I told you this was getting confusing. Now, here's where what Jennifer just said is up there. A microwave needs about 1,500 watts, and it has a current drain of about 125 amps. That is a lot of power. A coffee pot, that's 1,200 watts and 100 amps. Just to run your TV is about 180 watts and 15 amps. And if you plug in your computer, that's about 100 watts and 8 amps. So you have to decide the size you need. And what you do is you check the wattage requirements of what you want to power. Almost all those devices have a little sticker on it that'll tell you that. And then you get an inverter that's a little bit larger. But like I said, forget about running the air conditioner, but just about everything else is okay. The other thing you need to know about is the types of inverters. There's two kinds. There's something called a modified sine wave, and then there's a true sine wave. I'm not going to go into all the technical details on those, but you want the true, some people call it the pure sine wave. It'll depend on what equipment you want, but generally the true or the pure sine wave is a little bit better, and it gives you a little more reliability with your sensitive electronic parts. Now, how much do you need? Well, let's see. What did she say she wanted to run? Coffee pot. What else? Microwave.
Oh, yeah.
And I should mention a hair dryer. That's another one that is a really big current drain.
Yeah, we just take this for granted.
We do, because, we've got a different situation. We got so many batteries, but most people don't. So here's what I would recommend to you, that just if you want to run, the TV, the microwave, the coffee pot, if you add all of that stuff up, you're going to probably want to get a 3,000-watt inverter, a true or a pure sine wave inverter, about 3,000 watts. You ready for the cost? They cost a bunch. You can find them from about $700 to $1,200 or so. Probably $1,000 is the sweet spot, but it all depends. Now, if you only got one or two batteries, that's probably not enough, because your batteries, or it's probably too much because your batteries can't handle it. But I would assume you got more than that.
I can just hear you saying you don't need to dry your hair. It'll dry.
Just roll down the window and stick it outside as you're driving.
There you go.
Yeah.
And microwaves are not good for you anyway.
Yeah, that's right. We've gotten into that. But at any rate, probably 3,000 watts is what I would suggest. All right. Hope that helps you, Liz. And again, on the show notes page, we'll put a link to a really great story we found on a website that will help you be able to figure it out for yourself. All right, let's do one more question from the voicemail message box.
Hi, Mike and Jen. Thank you so much for all that you do for us out in the RV world. I'm just looking at Road Treks now for the first time, and I'm not sure yet which one I'll be buying in the next 6 months, either the E-Trek or one of the Adventurous models. Anyway, my question is related to the driving in the snow, and I know the 2016 models are going to offer some four-wheel drive versions, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on the four-wheel drive versus having to put chains on. Not sure if you have any experience with that, but if you do, that would be wonderful. Again, my name is Mike, and I'm in Santa Monica, California. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Bye. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the question.
Well, my first question was, where does he live? And Mike answered that at the end.
Okay, so Mike, I don't know where you're going to go. I will say that I know in the West, many of the mountains have chain rules, certainly for trucks, and to go up, you need to have chains on. So you might want to check that state. Now, in much of the rest of the country, there are not those rules. Now, we have done a lot of winter RVing. In fact, it's one of our favorite times to go. And we have never needed chains. As far as four-wheel or 4x4, I think that's kind of overkill, at least for the type of RVing we use. And we do a lot of boondocking. We drive down forest roads, Forest Service roads, two tracks. And we have never had the need for four-wheel drive. I think because the vehicles are heavy, you know, an RV is a very heavy, so it's got a lot of torque, you know, with the diesel engine, and it's got, it can handle pretty much everything we've driven. We did a trip, we got caught a couple of times it happened, but one time we actually rolled video on it up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in a literal whiteout blizzard. Remember that?
Oh, how could I forget that? You're very confident in your driving. You're very comfortable. I think I sit there biting my nails and praying.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. That's probably why I'm confident.
But I mean, I would check out the four-wheel drive and check out these options that are out there. I don't know where Mike wants to go.
Yeah, we don't know either, Mike. And if you're going to be running in mud, you know, you may want four-wheel drive. I'm not sure what the cost factor is, but for us, it's not an option. I've never thought I needed it. And to this point, I still don't think I need it. And nor have we ever put chains or snow tires or anything else on. It just works great. I'll tell you what we'll do. If you go to the show notes page, I'll put a link to the story about winter RVing that we did. And that's where we did this. And you can see what the conditions were like. We were driving in a blizzard, in a true blizzard whiteout, and it handled just fine.
I think you are a very confident driver. And growing up in Michigan, you've had lots of experience in the snow and everything, and you're comfortable with that. The whole thing that's nasty is ice, and I don't think anything helps with ice.
Yeah, if you got ice, stay home. Don't go anywhere. But, you know, you don't want to get caught on the road in ice either. So chains, yeah, you might need them if you're out west, and that's a law in the mountains. Snow, try it first without, or you, go to our road trekking group, you know, the road trekking group on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/road trekking, and ask there and get input from other people.
And that's why when it gets icy and you just pull over, we got everything we need.
Yeah.
It's our new home.
We can stay in it forever.
Until the ice melts.
All right. Those were our voice messages. And we got one more that came in just as I was putting this podcast in, and a real nice woman wrote, let me just write, her name is Lauren, and she says, sorry to bug you with a newbie question. We love newbie questions.
Yeah.
Because we think we're still newbies. But anyway, sorry to bug you with a newbie question. We're going to have to add an addition to our driveway for our new CSXL. That's the same motorhome we have, CS Adventurous XL. And I wonder if you have advice on asphalt or concrete. Asphalt's cheaper, but a concrete company says our rig will eventually sink in asphalt. Yikes, hadn't thought of that. I'd appreciate your feedback. Thank you again for all of your terrific posts. That's from Lauren. I think that the key here is that it's the concrete company that was telling you to get concrete, and it's more expensive.
We have asphalt. And asphalt, our whole driveway is asphalt. I get upset every year when I see the cracks in it, and I guess the Michigan weather.
And you reseal it. It's not, yeah.
If you already have a cement driveway, I would add on cement just because it would look nicer.
Yeah.
But if you have the asphalt already,
go
do
with
the
asphalt. Yeah, we have it, and we've had it for 3 years, and our motorhome sits on it, and there's been no cracking, no sinking, none of that. It's we just added a little extension. It works great.
And then it depends on the person that you hire, whether they do good work. Yep. I mean, the cement person could chintz and not do a good job.
Yeah. Cement is very expensive. And of course, it's in the cement guy's interest to tell you to put cement in because it's his business.
It's so hard to find good, quality, reputable people that do good work.
Yep. And but in our estimation is I would not have any hesitation at all in recommending asphalt.
Yeah, we haven't had any issue yet.
All right. Well, that's our questions this week. We'd love to hear from you either by email, and there's a link on the roadtrekking.com website, or leave us a voicemail and use that leave voicemail link and send us your voice, and we'll use it in a future episode of the podcast.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's roadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations around the country. Now, all three of these locations have a really interesting program. It's called the Fly and Drive program. They pick you up from the airport, and they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV will be fully prepared for travel. You'll go to the dealership. They'll take you to the dealership. You'll have complete tanks of fuel and propane. Get a full walkthrough of all of the neat things that you've got and ready for your adventure. So, Class B, that's what they specialize in. Dan the Van Man, he's got some specials for us this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week we're going to be posting all of our fall inventory reduction sale prices on our websites at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. You're going to see some great savings. We're making room for all the new Class Bs that we're going to have coming in this year. We got a great selection from all three locations. So give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check them out at the websites at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, it's a big story that broke in California over the past week, and it's in Orange County, where a fairly well-known RV dealership called McManus RV. Once, in fact, it was one of the largest motorhome dealers in the state of California. Now facing criminal charges stemming from a host of allegedly dishonest vehicle sales tactics, according to the county district attorney's office out there in Orange County, California. State and local officials have accused Brent McMahon and his company, Mega RV Corp, of taking money from customers, failing to provide promised RVs and warranties, and then refusing to grant refunds. This according to District Attorney Joel Stone, who's prosecuting the case. He says there was no intent to pay for what they said they would. McMahon did business as McMahon's RV. He sold new and used recreation vehicles from their flagship location in Westminster. But they had at least four other locations throughout the state of California, even into Arizona. The company no longer in business. Now he's facing 14 counts of grand theft, a felony, and a slew of misdemeanor charges. The guy's attorney is quoted in the local paper saying the charges are baseless, that the bankruptcy court's working to resolve his customer claims, that he never intended to cause any harm to anybody. It was just the opposite. In fact, he tried to get the money back. But, wow, when you look at the indictment, 36 misdemeanor counts, all tied to State Department of Motor Vehicle violations. They say he failed to transfer the certificate of ownership and registration for vehicles sold. He failed to pay off the prior credit balance of a trade-in in a timely manner or at all. And some customers say they were footing literally two vehicle payments, and those affected all over California, as far away as Manitoba, Canada. And the criminal case is the culmination of a Department of Motor Vehicle investigation into a crush of customer complaints from 2013 and 2014 against McMahon that were brought to light by a local newspaper out there, The Register. And as these complaints reached their peak, he ended up filing for bankruptcy protection, and that was in June of 2014. And he's accused by one of his creditors, in fact, of defrauding on payments and continuing to sell financed vehicles to customers. They pulled out $5 million out of his bank accounts, acting on a clause they had. They put a lock on that account, but there's 300 different creditors, including lenders, former employees, government agencies, and customers awaiting payment. What a mess. So it's pretty interesting. It goes way back, even in 2010. Taylor Lautner, who is the star of the TV show Twilight, she claimed a $300,000 RV that she paid for, failed to arrive on time for a movie shot, and he ended up paying her $40,000 in the settlement. But what a mess. So we bring up this story to basically point out the need to make sure of your dealer. Check out your dealer. And, Better Business Bureau, go online and look up the dealership. And you want to really be careful. This happens, of course, with used cars. And it happens, of course, with RVs, too. So we'll keep our eye on this case as it winds its way through. But authorities finally caught up with him. But there's a lot of folks who are trying to get money back or making two payments on vehicles that they thought they bought that weren't even paid off. Second story this week is set in Elkhart, Indiana. Last week was the big RV open house there in Elkhart. Elkhart has kind of emerged as America's RV manufacturing center. And as the RV sales boom has continued, so is the local economy in Elkhart. Last week, they had something that sort of began real easily with just one or two dealers, and now it's all of the different manufacturers there that have this thing called RV Dealer Open House. And all week long, visiting dealers from around the country come there, and they hang around. They get to spend 4 days, Monday through Thursday, looking at different manufacturers' displays. There's also some suppliers that are there as well. And it's a pretty big deal. It's been actually a rival to the National RV Trade Show that's held every December, the week after Thanksgiving, in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, I've never been to the Elkhart Open House. We were going to go. But we decided, well, you know, they don't have a lot of Class Bs there. It's really a dealer thing. And frankly, we were kind of RV showed out after spending a couple days at the Elkhart show. I'm kind of glad I didn't go. I'm reading a story from my friend Greg Gerber. Greg is a pal that also has a RV podcast. He's kind of the dean of the RV industry news sites. He has RV Daily Report. And Greg writes and covers the industry for the industry a lot. And so Greg went, and we were going to go and join him. We had dinner with Greg at when we were at Hershey, Pennsylvania, enjoyed it. And he said, oh, you know, you may want to come and see it. So we thought about it, and finally we decided not to go. And I'm really glad I didn't. And I want to applaud Greg, and I'll put a link to a story on his RV Daily News site. He does a great job of covering the industry for the industry, and sometimes he sheds a light into the RV industry that needs to be shined on. And this one, he has an opinion piece of, as he talks in a very fair piece about the RV dealers that had open house there in Elkhart and how elaborate some of the fields were. You know, they hosted lots of meals and lots of drinks. And he didn't have kind things to say about some of the behavior he witnessed. And I really, you know, Greg draws all of his industry, all of his income from the industry, and he does not shy away from pointing out problems. And I really like that. He said that one of the things that he noticed was how badly behaving some of the dealers who attended from around the country were, in particular, the use of alcohol. And he said that he quotes a couple of things, and I just want to read it. He says, 40 and 50 year olds are not entitled to act like teenagers when mom and dad go away for the weekend. And he noticed that there were hay bales positioned to give people a fun place to sit around campfires there at the dealer days, and, you know, as well as folding chairs. And that people were apparently playing around with them, trying to light them on fire. He says, this is crazy. He says, what's next? Pulling furniture out of RVs to see if they'll burn? And then he said, in the same regard, and he quotes one of the big RV manufacturers that had a display there. He says, this manufacturer avoided a tragedy when a drunken Yahoo on a golf cart ran into a crowd of people, sending one person to the hospital with minor injuries. Fortunately, none of the injured people wanted to pursue the issue. Police didn't even file a full report. But he said, you want to see an open house come to an end quickly? Expose a manufacturer to a liability lawsuit for serving liquor at their events. He says, the idea that conventions and industry gatherings are excuses to get blitzed rather than network and learn has been plaguing the RV industry for years. It makes my skin crawl to hear 40-year-olds say, man, I got so wasted last night, as though it's a teenage badge of honor. He says the open house, despite all this, was a huge success. But good for Greg in calling out the ridiculous behavior of some of those RV dealers who just had obviously too much of that alcohol. Maybe that'll just not offer free alcohol for that stuff. How about that? And one more study that I thought was pretty interesting that came out recently about the new outdoor culture that is taking shape. And it has to do with millennials, you know, those born just before the year 2000, those, you know, who are in their late 20s and 30s now. They've kind of are driving this, but the idea of being outdoorsy, expanding into this really familiar territory. We see it in the RV boom, but camping-related products are really taking off, especially coolers, but hammocks. Hammocks, in fact, are absolutely going through the roof. And it has to do, according to a report from the NPD Group, kind of an online global information company, has to do with this outdoors culture that's taking shape. And they point to hammock sales that have more than doubled in dollars and unit over the past 2 years in sales, a trend that's happening at the same time that hammocks are becoming increasingly popular among college students, and they're now found adjoining the trees on university campuses. Hammock culture and outdoors community has taken shape among younger millennials, said this study. Hammocking is a whole new level, driven by hammocks and the Yeti brand of, you know, those really popular coolers that have soared, those hard-sided coolers. 70% of cooler sales are Yeti brand coolers these days. They grew 34%. All of this translates into this outdoorsy culture, as well as an idea that millennials are embracing camping and the outdoors more than previous generations have. So it's kind of good to see. And much of that we see in the RV boom, the outdoorsy culture. We're all part of that, right? And then finally, I want to give a shout out to my friend Mark Polk. Mark's another RV journalist. He and his wife, Dawn, run something called RV Education 101. And Mark has done a ton of videos, how-to instructional videos to handle everything from plumbing on an RV to troubleshooting an electrical system. Well, Mark developed a new app called RV Education 101. You can get it for Apple or Android, and it works really great with the iPhone, the iPod, or your smartphone. And it's got a main menu, and it lists all of the full-feature RV training titles that you can download to your device, and then you can either purchase individual chapters, maybe just on one part of it, if you want to learn how to winterize, for example, just that chapter, or the entire video on plumbing. It's just a great resource. I will put a link up on the show notes here, it's pretty cool. You download the videos through his RV Education 101 app. You can find it. I'll put a link to a story, and you can see it. But way to go, Mark. That's a really great service that you do. So let's see. That's our news of the week. If you got a news item, send it to us. There's a link to contact me on the roadtrekking.com website. We're always looking for news that we can share with our audience. And this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know about for your RV. You can visit the Aldi site at aldi.se/US. It's an incredible heating system. We have it in the Road Truck CS Adventurous RS that Jennifer and I use. It's called hydronic heating. And hydronic means it uses water. And that is the main source of heater. Just like you have radiant heat that's water-based in houses, high-end houses, this is the same concept for your RV. Hydronic system brings so many features and benefits that you cannot find in traditional propane-type heating systems. The hydronic system is a silent, radiant heat. No noises from the propane forced air burner in your RV. This silent, radiant heat. It provides a warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets and humans. It has an increased interior space benefit from it because you, in essence, are combining your water heater and your heating system in one, two systems in one. It's very efficient, draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, so it will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over forced air systems. And you have all these different options and amenities you can get, like towel warmers. And the one that we like the best is floor heat. We absolutely love floor heat. Tank heating, four-season camping, all of this. Aldi, you need to check it out. They're available in many different RV configurations from different manufacturers. ALDE, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Gadgets, gizmos, smartphones, personal tech, we cover it all. Time now for Mike's Thingamajig of the Week.
Well, one of the things we all like to do is listen to our devices. Sometimes when we're outside, and sometimes when maybe somebody else in the RV is sleeping. And when that happens, we want to have something we can plug in our ears that that make it particularly private, so we're not bothering everybody. You know what I mean? This is really what it's all about, taking it really easy. So to find out how we can listen without disturbing others. Let's take a rundown of some of the Bluetooth headsets that are available. Here's our buddy Paul Ulrich from Verizon Wireless.
Hey Mike, how's it going? It's Paul from Verizon Wireless. Today I wanted to talk about some different types of headphones you can get. Like, you see a lot of people walking around with different headphones depending on kind of where they are, what you're doing. At the minimum, kind of on the low end, I always keep a little pair of corded ones with a little piece of Velcro around them, usually in my pocket all the time, just in case I need headphones to take a call or if I want to listen to some music. If you want something a little better, you want to go up to the LG Tone Pro wireless stereo headsets. Comes in four different colors. You see these around a lot of people. It kind of looks like a necklace where the headphones come out of the necklace then, because the battery and the controls are in the necklace part. And then you can put the headphones right in your ear. These are nice. They're under $100. They've got great sound to them. I'll send you a link to all three of the ones I'm going to talk about. You want something a little beefier? Now we're going to go up to the Bose SoundLink. These are the bigger kind of ones that go on top of your head, around the ear. They're really nice. They're under $300. These, of course, Bose is a well-known name in audio and music. So these headphones are going to give you a great sound. They do come in black and white. And, of course, you can take calls from them, too, if you like. And they are wireless, so it's just nice to, if you just want to not have to worry about any kind of wires getting in your way as you're doing something, these headphones are really nice headphones. And then, of course, if you want to go with the super cool ones, you want to feel like you're awesome, like the movie stars or the sports guys, we're going to go for the big daddies, the Beats Studio Wireless. So these are the new ones. They are made by Beats, of course, so everyone knows that they come in those bright colors, and they're the big over-the-ear headphones. You can get them in red, so they just shout out to everybody that, you can see it from a mile away wearing these headphones. The big studio wireless over-the-ear ones are $379. Those are the expensive ones, but they have the huge speakers in there. The sound is just so immersive, and it's got, noise canceling, so you put these on, you can just escape into your own little world. So I'll send you links to all these three, and check them out. For the Road Trekking RV Podcast, I'm Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich reporting.
All right, thanks, Paul. And you can find the links to these really cool Bluetooth headsets on our show notes page. Just go to roadtrekking.com/55. This podcast part is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Verizon has been a longtime supporter of domestic violence awareness through its Hope Line from Verizon program. Domestic violence is a national problem that impacts our communities, our neighbors, coworkers, friends, and family members. And Verizon believes its network and technologies and the community at large can be a part of the solution. HopeLine provides ways for individuals to take action against domestic violence by donating no longer used wireless phones and accessories in any condition from any service provider. Verizon then turns these resources into support for domestic violence organizations and programs nationwide. You simply drop off any unused device or battery, charger, or accessory in any condition from any Verizon wireless carrier, from Verizon, AT&T, any of them. There's a HopeLine box at any Verizon retail location. Just put it there. Their goal is to collect 1 million phones by the end of 2015. So do your part and bring a no longer used device to a Verizon store during October. Together, we can prevent, educate, and empower. And if you want some information about this, verizon.com/responsibility/hopeline. I'll put a link in the show notes to that, and you can learn more about that program. But what a great opportunity to make a difference in a terrible problem. October, it's Domestic Violence Prevention Month.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we are in the midst of the fall RV show season, and there are a number of them all around the country. Let me tell you about what's happening this weekend, what's coming up, a couple of them that you may want to check out. The Great American RV Show in Colorado Springs. That opens up this weekend. It's the very first event of its kind in Colorado Springs, California, or Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's October 1st through the 3rd, so it's this coming weekend. this episode being released, of course, on September 30th, 2015. The Great American RV Show in Colorado Springs, where the area's major RV dealers will have a whole bunch of motorhomes and travel trailers and fifth wheels and more, all discounted at year-end clearance specials. They've got the 2015, 2016 models and special show deals. There'll be a closeout on 2015 models and pre-owned units also available. So if you're shopping, this is what's great about an RV show. You can go and you can go through all sorts of different ones from different manufacturers in one location. You don't have to run all over town or all over the state or wherever it is. So check it out. That's in Colorado Springs. I'll put a link on the show notes to this and everything on the RV calendar. For those of you down in Florida, in Elkton, Florida, at the St. John's County Fairgrounds, this is the St. John's Fall RV Show, opening up this weekend as well. We'll put a link to that, and you can check that out. That's in Elkton, Florida. And then on the calendar in October, not this first weekend, but the second weekend, and it lasts actually for a long time. It's one of the longest RV shows anywhere. October 9th through the 18th in Pomona, California, at the big Fairplex out there. This is the RVIA California show, and it is huge. It is its show address on the web, and I'll put a link on the show notes. It's called thebestrvshow.com, and it's you know, there's three major shows, huge shows in the country. There's Hershey, which they say is the largest in America. Then there's the Super RV Show in Tampa, Florida, in January. They claim they're the largest, so it's a toss-up between the two. And right hard on their heels is the California show in Pomona at the Fairplex. October 9th through the 18th, they will have over 1,300 brand new RVs from 48 different manufacturers all on display. They've got live music and a food court and lots of vendor booths. So we'll put a link up to that as well in our RV calendar. And if you have an event or a gathering that you'd like us to tell our audience about, just use the contact link on the roadtrekking.com website, and I'll be glad to incorporate your event as well in one of our RV calendar reports.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion
you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Well, this is a great one that comes from Bob and Jana, from one of our listeners from near the Yellowstone area. If you have been or are currently or planning to visit Yellowstone National Park, and of course that's on everybody's bucket list, listen up, because right nearby you've got some cool things to see. We'll put a link up to everything Bob and Jana share, but here's their Off the Beaten Path report.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Bob and Gina Walbrink from Cincinnati, Ohio. We have an Off the Beaten Path suggestion for your listeners. Recently, we were in the Yellowstone National Park area in our Class B RV, and we left heading west and came across a very interesting geological area just west of West Yellowstone, Montana. It's called Earthquake Lake Geological Area. It is in the Custer Gallatin National Forest in Montana. This is easily accessible on Montana Route 287 between the towns of West Yellowstone and the quaint town of Ennis, Montana. On the night of August 17, 1959, one of the most powerful earthquakes ever recorded in the Rocky Mountains struck this Madison River Canyon area. The earthquake measured 7.5 on the Richter scale and triggered a massive landslide, sending over 80 million tons of rock into the canyon. This rock slide subsequently blocked the Madison River and created what is now called Earthquake Lake. Another geological event occurred at the same time just east of this, and it involved Hebgen Lake. The lake itself had areas that dropped 19 feet. The lake then tilted, causing water to cover cabins on the north side of the lake, while portions of the south side of the lake became high and dry. Fortunately, due to the geological areas and the earthquake that occurred that night, 28 lives were lost. All of this information can be found at a very nice visitor center on the west side of the canyon. The visitor center has informative displays, videos, and some small trails that describe what happened on that evening. The other nice thing about this off-the-beaten-path location is that it is very close to the quaint town of Ennis, Montana, also very near the ghost towns of Virginia City and Nevada City, Montana. All of these areas could be enjoyed for, you know, over the course of one day. Hopefully people who listen to this are in the area would enjoy the same. Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you guys for that off the beaten path report. I'll put a link up so people can look at more information about Earthquake Lake and learn more about that. But what a great opportunity to do some exploring after or before a visit to Yellowstone National Park, because it's right nearby. We've seen it. We were there actually this summer, and just amazed to look at that. So thank you very much, Bob and Jenna, for that report. This part of the podcast brought to you by Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and the internet from Winter Garden, Florida. Leisure Time RV is a family-owned dealership in Winter Garden that's right near Orlando, so it couldn't be any more centrally located. And they've been in business for 45 years, consistently ranked among the top road trek dealers in North America. They have a full line of road trek inventory, as well as travel trailers, used RVs. Jennifer and I have visited Leisure Time RV. We know the staff. We are very impressed by the honesty and integrity and the first-rate service that we found there. So let's check with Ken from Leisure Time RV. And Ken, what's happening this week?
Good afternoon from Leisure Time RV in beautiful Winter Garden, Florida. The weather is getting cooler and the snowbirds are starting to arrive. How can you tell that it's fall in Florida? The color of the license plates start to change. For a limited time, we currently have four 2015 Road Treks built on 2014 Sprinter chassis that qualify for free money from Road Trek. We have a beautiful ruby red CS Adventurous, a midnight black CS with the full E-Trek package, a charcoal gray CS with the solar package, and a silver TS Adventurous with the electronic package and the charcoal interior. You can check out our inventory on our website, www.leisuretimerv.com, or give us a call at 1-800-336-6565. That's www.leisuretimerv.com or 1-800-336-6565. Remember, your vacation starts with Leisure Time RV.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The Small Motorhome RV travel blog.
One of the fun parts about traveling is, of course, meeting people. And I've gotten in the habit now of carrying my little portable data recorder with me whenever we are out and about in our RV. And during our recent trip to Florida, we were literally camped on the beach at Camp Gulf, which is right on the beautiful sugar sand Gulf Coast there near Destin, Florida. And, you know, when you're all parked like that in the community, you soon get to meet everybody around us. And I noticed that the folks in the motorhomes just to our right, two families in two different motorhomes. And the kids just seemed to get along so great. The adults got along great. And I finally got a chance to meet him and found out that the guy right next to me was a Brit. He is from Cambridge, England. And he owns a Class A motorhome, and he keeps it here in the States, and they spend as much time as possible, a Brit, living the American dream. And I thought you'd get a kick out of listening to how much fun it is to make friends, what it means to your family and how this RV lifestyle can lead to some amazing freedoms that bring your family together. Mark spends about 4 months of the year with his family here in an RV traveling around America. So without any further ado, I thought you ought to meet Mark and his friend who is on the other side of him, who you'll meet a little bit later on the interview, named Ed Conway. Here is how living the American dream works for a Brit. I'm going to call this section Living the American Dream, and my guest is Mark Scottney. And Mark, where are you from?
I'm from England, Cambridgeshire in England.
All right, it's from England, but we're actually coming to you, we're right on the Silver Sand Beach. We're barefoot here on the sand in Destin, Florida. And we're right in front of, your motorhome and your friend's motorhome. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how you came into the motorhome lifestyle in America.
Okay, well, we came to Florida in 2000, and we loved the place, so we bought a home here. And in 2004, we bought our first motorhome and started to explore, and we loved it. And I guess we came here in 2004 or 2005, and we met these guys. We've been coming here ever since, and we've explored all over the place.
Now, these guys are the people in the motorhome next to yours, uh-huh. And they're from
Pennsylvania.
From Philadelphia, near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you guys have met for how many years now?
Well, we figured out about six. Yeah.
So your kids have all kind of grown up.
Yeah. And these guys have been friends since 4 years old, and they look forward to it. They count down the days every year. We also have some other friends that we made probably 4 years ago that normally camp right there. They've gone home now, but they've come from Texas every year, from Katy in Texas.
Katy, yeah.
And they come and meet as well.
So you guys have a reunion every year.
Absolutely.
On the beach near Destin, Florida.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the motorhome lifestyle and living the American dream.
Yeah, we love it. We absolutely love it. The freedom that it offers and the facilities that are available in the US are amazing. We come here and we hang out. The kids play on the beach. We go eat together. We go play on boats together. We have a wonderful time here. But also, we also hook up a trailer and we take ATVs out to Moab, Utah, and we've ridden up there a few times. We've just come back from Colorado, and we hang out up there. I know Ed's you're all over the place, aren't you? You've been all over.
Now joining us here is Ed. What's your last name?
Conway.
And you're from near Philly?
Yeah, Douglasville, Pennsylvania, 45 miles northwest of Pennsylvania.
And you guys are right next to each other on the beach. We're staying at Camp Golf, which is really, it's more expensive than a condo, isn't it?
Probably.
I think it's $200 a night. But we are on the beach. I mean, the water is, 50 yards away, if that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Now, what I want to talk about is the friendships that are formed through this. Your kids have literally grown up together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've become the best of friends now, you know? We keep in touch all year. We mail each other, we plan this trip, and in about January of every year, just after Christmas, in that sort of calm time, we always exchange emails and, hey, we're going to do the beach again? Yeah, and it's not even an if now, is it? It's a when are we going to do the beach again?
We have a countdown. 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 1 month, 2 weeks, see you soon.
Yep. And how long are you guys here for?
10 days. We come 10 days every year in the same spot.
And do you meet any other time during the year?
No, when we can, we do. Usually, you know, he has a house in Florida in Kissimmee. So we come down there, and I visited him before we came up here, and we drove up together.
So you're near Kissimmee.
Yeah.
And how often do you get over to the States?
We spend about 4 months of the year here. Pretty much all the time that the kids are on vacation from school, we come here, and we enjoy every second of it.
Now, talk about this American dream you're living.
Okay. Everybody teases me that with the home and the RV and what have you, everyone says, hey, you know, here's the English guy living the American dream. And you know what? If this is the American dream, I enjoy it. And it's great. It's just what we like.
Talk about that lifestyle a little bit. What obviously family and friends are a huge part of it.
Yeah, you know, we all work hard. Ed and I both run our own businesses. We have a lot in common. There's a lot of demands on us professionally. So when we get away, what's really important to me is to spend time with the family and to have some real quality time with the kids and catch up on some of the lost time that I get from when I'm at work and what have you.
Now, Ed, you and Mark, obviously, you could have
afford the finest condo on the beach anyway with what we've invested in your motorhomes. Why a motorhome?
Well, because the kids will never remember what you got them for their, you know, a certain Christmas, but they'll never forget where they've been. Those memories last forever.
Where have you been in yours?
Well, I've been out west, Grand Canyon. We did a Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Utah, Zion National Park, Las Vegas this year. Last year we did more of the Black Hills, you know, South Dakota, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse. So, and then we'll...
Mark, how about you? Where have you been?
Well, we've done over to California. We really enjoyed that. We've been over to Utah, to Moab. We take our ATVs out there and we ride up out in Moab. We love that.
So here's an English guy who has a motorhome, ATVs, a condo in Florida.
Yeah, and a trailer that we haul some jet skis over here, and we have a lot of fun here on jet skis too. Yeah. And that's great. We've just come back from Colorado. And that was beautiful up there. We were up to Taylor Park and Gunnison with my oldest. That was just me and my oldest son, again in the RV. Brilliant fun.
You know, there are people that listen to our podcast every week. I get that we don't have one. We're thinking about getting one someday.
Buy one.
Advice.
Buy one. Just buy one. Whatever you can afford, it doesn't matter whether it's big or small, buy one. The first one we bought off eBay. I didn't really know what I was doing. And you know what? I never regretted it. It wasn't the best RV, but the experiences were the best.
Yeah, agreed. It doesn't have to be a motorized one. It could be a tow-behind camper, because it doesn't matter if it's a $2 million Prevost or a $5,000 tow-behind. The experience is all the same when you get there.
And it's a lifestyle thing. And I've we've been next to you guys here at Camp Golf, and I've seen your kids playing together, and those are the memories that that they will remember. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this time, Mark. You're living the American dream.
Thank you, I love it.
And Ed, you've done a good deed to Brett.
always a good ally.
Thank you, guys.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
I absolutely love that story from Mark Scottney and from Ed Conway. Did you catch that quote from Ed about kids and families and the RV lifestyle? I got to write that down. He said that your kids will forget the stuff you got them next week, but they'll never forget the experiences they have when you take them places and enjoy that RV lifestyle. Great advice. Just really love to meet folks like this. A guy living the American dream from Britain, from Great Britain. And he's embraced it. He's bought a condo in Florida and an RV, and he spends every bit of time he can here traveling the country and enjoying that lifestyle. I hope you are too. We are in the official fall now. The fall colors spreading across the upper states in North America and provinces of Canada. And winter is on the way. But as we talked about earlier in the program, you can RV in winter. I'll tell you next week about a winter campout we have planned in January that there's still some openings on. There's no cost or anything other than what you pay the state park to get your spot. But if you want to come, I'll send you some info on it and put it in the podcast next week. I want to thank you for listening. If you'd like to have your voice heard, if you want to be a part of the podcast, boy, I invite you to do this. Jennifer, I love getting your voicemail messages. Just go to roadtrekking.com and leave us a voicemail message. Make a comment, a question, leave us an off-the-beaten-path report. All you do is click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Also, please follow us on Facebook. We've got a very active Facebook group. If you want to be on 24/7, if you have any questions, somebody will be there to help you out almost immediately. Just go to facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And you'll have more info than you can ever need. So you'll enjoy that. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the program this week. Putting us in your ear doesn't get any better than that. We'll see you next week. Meantime, enjoy yourself out there road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.